Good morning and welcome to the How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything radio show. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Well, we had a number of assignments for the weekend, so as usual, and so several of them actually were readings from the book. And so I'm going to try to attempt to read that. So here we go.
Well, you know, if you have a hesitation, don't. I'm sure
okay.
We all read them. So
yes,
we
all
can
right.
Just jump into hearing from people.
That sounds good. So on Friday we had, what did you get that you're not satisfied with that is causing you to want what you're wanting now? And then on Saturday, to record the four causes of suffering and what you see about them. Don't forget to listen. And then on Sunday, record the page, listen, record and listen to what you see. And it's a furthering of the four causes of suffering. So shall we hear from our first caller?
Yes, please.
All right. First caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? First caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, this is Anna back in Mountain View.
Oh, hi, Anna.
Hey, Anna.
Hey.
Good to hear from you. Long time no see.
I know.
Let's just say, did we have fun? Did we have fun over the weekend getting the monastery ready for retreat season?
That was going to be the first thing I was going to say. It was the best time ever. It's like how to get out in words what is in the heart, right? How
mm-hmm,
fun it was.
Mm-hmm.
It was like we had two big, really full days of work. And at the end of the first day, when the schedule went up for the next day, there was like I can't wait to get up in the morning and do this again and play again.
It's like summer camp, isn't it? I mean,
yeah.
If anybody ever went to summer camp and loved summer camp, it's what it's like. So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And just all of that, you know, that getting to live that thing that you know, I've heard you talk about where it to work like that and give everything just feels so good, like that that self-respect, you know, that just getting
yes
what you do, the gift of
a
that.
A good participant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So just thanks to life for that.
Mm-hmm.
And all relates to the assignments, right? The having. That's what I was getting with these assignments, that appreciating is appreciating. Like,
mm-hmm,
like nothing, like, how to put it? It's so what you practice is what you have, right? When we did the assignment about what would make your life perfect, what I
mm-hmm
saw was my life is perfect. Having it would make it perfect.
Right. And it would make it more perfect.
Right. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Being here for the perfection of it. And there was that assignment. Just even the wording of the assignment itself was so disidentifying. What did you get that you're not satisfied with that's causing you to want what you're wanting now? And when that assignment was read out, we were all in the meditation hall and a little chuckle went up, you know, went around the room. And it was that, like, that recognition, that disidentification. And then actually mm-hmm doing the assignment was a whole different experience of really, really having, like, as I was doing it, it was like the receiving started to take over the dissatisfaction. That was what was bigger. And then the little dissatisfaction was like a tiny dot at the bottom of the page, completely flooded with all of this receiving and appreciation.
Mm. Yeah, and I'm not sure if this is what you were pointing at, or part of what you were pointing at, but whatever happened, whatever happened, let's just go with that, when I see it and receive the benefit of seeing it, of having the experience, then yeah. I'm having everything I want because I'm here in clarity. I'm here. I'm disidentified from ego. I'm present, and I'm having the experience of life animating.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Here, all having right. the experience of life animating. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you. Go happy.
Go happy.
Thanks, Anna.
Bye-bye.
Hey, Ashwini.
Uh-huh.
It makes me think that there are probably people on this show who don't know the origin of Go Happy.
Well, I think we should tell them.
Yeah, and if I'm remembering it correctly, this is a long time ago, it's how it's a translation of goodbye in Icelandic.
I believe you're right. Yes,
I think that's where it all came from. That they're when they say goodbye, what that means is go happy, or how mm-hmm. what they're actually saying. And so that just seemed like such a great way to say goodbye to people.
Yes, and I think it was from a book we were reading called The Geography of Bliss.
That's it. That is it. Uh huh.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Good.
But what
so
is
that's
what
why
is
we say go
the geography
happy.
Of bliss. I think it's a good awareness practice.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and Ashwini, if you're talking, I can't hear you.
Oh, I was just saying that geography of bliss is such a wonderful description of what we're doing in practice, right? Discovering the terrain of bliss.
Yes. Yes. Oh, that's such a good point. I didn't think about it when I was reading that book. That is such a good point. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So here we are.
Yeah. Here we go. Here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Rebecca from the monastery.
Hello, Rebecca.
Hi.
You had a good time, too. I know, because I spent a lot of that good time with you.
I was about to say, yes, it was so obvious. It was so much fun. And just to look around the monastery, I took a little walk around, a little tour of some of the things that we did this week, yesterday, and just relive the fun all over again. And just to see the results, oh, my God, things look so good.
They look so loved, don't they?
They do.
Nothing looks quite as good as what is loved.
Yeah, and you know what? Participating in that love is our ticket to get to experience that, and you know, it's what it seems to me. Because I bet there are people that would walk around and not have the same experience. I hardly imagine.
Well,
but, you know.
Yes. In fact, we talked about that a little bit, Eric. I did at the end of group yesterday mm-hmm. morning. You know, if you hadn't been there for it, the tendency would be to see what we didn't get done.
Or,
yeah. You know. Right, because that's how we're conditioned. We're trained not to see all of the positives because conditioned mind, of course, is a negativity machine, and we will see nothing but. That's so beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, I really hope it's a trend that continues because having those folks on the property to just all these work teams, oh my gosh, I just hope they had as much fun as we did because it was quite amazing. And it sounded like, from what everybody said in group, it sounded like it. Wave reviews,
mm-hmm.
yes, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Oh my God. Yes. And we, you know, we get the benefit of the leftovers, so we're enjoying those. So I love the question on Friday. What did you get that you aren't satisfied with? It's making you want what you want now. I thought, oh, that is such an amazing question. Whoever wrote that question was certainly near enlightenment. As they
very
said.
Near to enlightenment.
Very near enlightenment. Because where you have to go, where you get to go to answer that question and to even have that question, you know, understood or realized. So where I went was I went back to what I wrote on the page of what I want, and it was unitive knowledge with the ground of being. That's what I want.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And a deck. But I was with the unitive knowledge
and a deck.
Ground of being. Yeah. But what I saw was so fascinating, and it was the process you were just talking about with Anna, of the receiving, of really the having. Where I went with that was what I was got that I was not satisfied with in order to now realize that this is what I want, not the deck, the unitive knowledge, was I got all my life I had wanted a close relationship with God and to make a difference in the world. Those were the two, like, driving things when I look back on my life. And, you know, it's something that you said to me early on in my practice that has been a koan for all these years is, do you want to taste candy or do you want to be candy?
Mm-hmm.
And so... Can you see where I'm going here? So,
Oh, yeah. Now, just for anybody who thinks I don't know it, that's not original with me.
Okay.
No, that's not original with me, but it is a great question, isn't it? Okay, go ahead.
It is. And so what I got was I wanted a close relationship with God, and so I went through the ministry route. I went to all, you know, read the Bible. I did all the religious stuff, and I did have a very close relationship with God, in my experience, and all of those things. But there was something, you know, it's sort of like that wheel of karma. We all have the karma to wake up and end suffering, and so. It's like what Rumi described as the drop, you know, just dissolving into the ocean. That seems to be what I wasn't satisfied with tasting candy. The heart kept going and going and going into the desire, which is unitive knowledge, being the candy, you know. And,
yeah,
and
pure,
I just,
undisturbed consciousness slipping into all consciousness, right? That's what you're describing, yeah.
Go ahead. And the other one of making a difference in the world, this weekend was such a, you know, wonderful example of it, because I looked at this career that I used to have was by all external eyes would have seen, well, yeah, she's really working to make a difference in the world, you know, and it was on, you know, political level, and we were changing policy and getting, you know, my very last day on the job, this woman called me and said, listen, you know, Rebecca, listen, and she turned on her faucet. We had been working for over a year to get running water to this neighborhood that had no running water. You know, so it's like, oh, you know, it was really gratifying and all of that. But again, there was this dissatisfaction that was a part of all that. And, I mean, that was sort of dry. That's not the right way to say it. But there was something that wasn't it. And this is where I kind of get, language seems to fail, because it's not content. I'm not saying that I couldn't have been satisfied doing that, because it's not, I mean, it was,
well, but that's your whole point.
Go ahead.
That's your whole point. You had to, I mean, that was good work, beautiful work, fabulous work.
Yes.
If you hadn't been able to do that work, you wouldn't have realized, but that's not going to satisfy the heart.
Yes.
Nothing will satisfy the heart except the experience of pure undisturbed consciousness slipping into all consciousness. Because that's the deepest desire of the heart. So, yes, you could have been blissfully satisfied and content doing that work had you had that experience of slipping into the ocean, being a shining drop of water slipping into the ocean, had you had that first. But doing that very good work and being dissatisfied drove you to the next level.
That is it. That is exactly it, Sherry, because, you know, when I was cleaning some of those floors or getting the, you know, dusting the Hermitage, it's like, oh, my God, it was just such bliss. And so the juxtaposition is what kind of was creating the, you know, the helping me to look at that, because you're right. That I couldn't have, I don't know if I could have, but I guess I couldn't have had that first.
Yeah.
You know, it whatever. Yeah.
You couldn't have because you didn't.
You know?
So, and that to me is such an important spiritual realization. Yes, of course, anything is possible. It's apparently when the Buddha left wife and child and palace and all of that, you know, to go awaken, when asked later, why couldn't you have stayed here and done it? Well, perhaps somebody could have, but I couldn't.
Yeah, that's
so.
Yeah.
It doesn't. It for our lives. It doesn't matter what's theoretically possible. It's
mm-hmm.
what's possible for me. And so the best work in the world, you realize, without your heart being completely satisfied, it would be unfulfilling.
Mm-hmm. Oh gosh, it just so. Words fail me. It's like, I don't know the superlative to use, but it's like the most gratifying, deeply satisfying experience to be receiving this in this very moment, to be seeing
mm-hmm.
it. And to be
it's all those images of fall down on the, kiss the ground
mm-hmm.
and prostrations
yeah.
until your forehead hurts.
Mm-hmm. So
thank you.
Just
doesn't
gosh.
Even come close, does it?
Exactly.
It just doesn't.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right.
And, you know,
thank you, Rebecca.
Yeah. Thank you, Sherry. Thank you, Ashwini. Bye bye.
Go happy.
Bye.
Go happy. Right.
Well, you can't add to that conversation, Sherry.
It kind of said it, huh?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. There is nothing that is equivalent to that experience of being one with all that is.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with anything.
Yeah.
So there's no step on the path that's a mistake. It's just we're not going to quit until the heart is completely fulfilled and satisfied. And
mm-hmm.
that is a grand and glorious thing.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi. This is Alicia from Seattle.
Hello,
hi, Alicia.
Hello. Gosh, I was so just trying to kind of keep up with that conversation that you were just having. It's funny. So I did the exercises, and that question, what did you get that you're not satisfied with that's causing you to want what you're wanting now? I mean, there are things I can see so clearly.
Mm-hmm.
Like how conditioning works, for example, you know, in the example that I gave, I can see how, you know, I'm sort of knocked around between, you know, self-pity, you know, it's a challenge, and then there's self-pity and you should be stronger. And I see it. And I see, like, in listening to that last conversation too, I can see how really it's all a gift. I mean,
yes.
And yet, like I in listening and like being with that conversation, I can get to that, and in that moment, you know. And yet, I find
mm-hmm.
just falling for that, you know, in that duality, being there,
mm-hmm.
even in when the question I'm asked the question, I go right. You know, I unfortunately became, like, I saw the identification, like, yeah, it's always either, like, poor me or you're not, you know, like, I, Where am I going? Well, I'm just sort of.
Well,
experience.
So the duality, what you're describing that ego does to you, is the duality of for you, for me, what's wrong with you?
Exactly.
Right? And yet, right alongside that, you track that conversation because you know that experience in your heart.
Yes, and then there is, this goes back to an earlier question, that I remember the experience of, you kind of want to cling. There's this feeling of like, oh, I just want to stay with that other thing. Like I don't want to be in that duality. There's the clinging that comes like right on the heels of the moment, you know.
Okay, let's just stop right there, okay? Because you just laid it out perfectly. Okay, so you have an experience,
yes,
and you watch yourself want to cling to it.
Right.
But you can't, can you?
Right. No.
So the wanting is not a problem because it perfectly positions you to realize, but that's not possible.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So we're constantly having the experience. So, you know, wanting has a really bad reputation just, you know, in a lot of places. And it does in Eastern philosophy. It does in Buddhism. Simply because what the Buddha identified as, it is the cause of suffering,
mm-hmm,
which we can see, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because,
right.
Not because of wanting itself, but because people believe that wanting is going to get what they want. And because content and process are not the same thing, mm-hmm, ego gets people to pursue content, believing that having that content, getting, not having, as we've been looking at, getting that content will satisfy, will give them what they truly want, which is happiness, well-being, satisfaction.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it won't. So it's not that there's a problem with wanting. We, in my view, we should just want like crazy and get, mm-hmm, like crazy. Because that's a very fast way to prove to ourselves this isn't it.
Right. Right.
Right? Which is why most people who come to Zen practice are actually about 40 and successful.
Right.
Yeah? Okay, go ahead.
Right. I mean, only, yes, it's great to hear that, and then I'll be able to listen back. Just that the whole thing that we're experiencing, is what we need to experience. I mean, I tend to resist that,
yes,
sort of, some, I guess, my
right
karmic
there
pattern.
Everybody's Alicia. It's everybody's karmic pattern. It's ego.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. But what you just said is the deal, right? We're experiencing what we, so perhaps you didn't come into this world knowing that what you actually want out of life is an intimate, a union experience with God. Did you
right
come in with that?
Not that I'm aware of, but yeah.
Yeah. Rebecca's always been a religious nut. Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So there's looking at life from that perspective, and then there's the karma most of us have, right? Which is
right.
No, I just want to. I want to find the right person. I want to get the right job. I want to buy the right house. I want to have the right kids. I want to have plenty of money, and then I'll be happy.
Right.
And systematically, and it doesn't matter whether it's, you know, a religious, an obviously religious path right from the beginning, or a very typical, what would we call it, earthly path that most of us are on, right? Started out on. It doesn't matter because what we're learning is following ego is following dissatisfaction. So we might as well, you know, you want that? Go get it. You want that? Go get it. But pay really close attention and realize I thought I would have that experience when I got that, but I'm not having that experience. That's great. Okay, check that off my list. That is not the thing that's going to make me happy. No feeling bad, no guilt, no that's a mistake, none of that. None of that. We're intelligent people. We have to have our own experience.
Absolutely. And I only want to add, I laughed out loud when we did the exercise. It was first, I think, how are you when you get what you want? How are you when you don't get what you want? And I laughed out loud at that second question because I'm like, oh, I'm exactly the same. There's no difference. And so it's such a great thing to see. Like, oh.
Talk about a moment of enlightenment.
Yeah, it was. Beautiful. So it was great. But anyway, thank you. This is wonderful.
Oh, thank you. It's been great. Go happy.
Go happy.
Thanks, Alicia. Sherry, we have time for one more caller.
Oh, good.
And I can't find Alicia. There she is. Okay, she's muted now. And here's our next caller.
All right.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, this is Jesse from Chicago.
Hey, Jesse.
Hey, Jesse.
Hi. These exercises really came to life for me over the last few days. I took my two young girls, age 8 and age 5, they're on spring break last week, and I took them to New York. And we were running around for a few days, and it was so much fun, and I know they had a great time, and it was really special time for me with them. And I just kept feeling this. I just kept hearing that sort of voice come in of something's wrong, you know, this isn't right or that's not right. And it was starting to take away from my experience and my enjoyment and my relationship, my time with the kids, until I realized sort of what was going on. And the assignments were so helpful for me in understanding that. Understanding that there's this process at play that, you know, ego and conditioning will always be sending these messages that this isn't enough or that's not good enough or something is wrong. And until I really got that, until I really got some distance between what was being said and what my actual experience was, I was able to realize actually nothing is wrong. I have everything that I really need. And I'm giving these kids a really
and
special
fun.
Experience. Yeah.
Right? And fun. Yeah. And that is so important to realize the straightforward simplicity of that, that all those voices were there for was to ruin your good time. That was
so straightforward.
So straightforward. So when we learn that, we know we can apply that all the time.
Yes, and so this is what I wanted just to follow up and say. So now I'm back at work, first day in a week, and as you can imagine, after being away for a week, it's relatively, there's a lot going on. And I started to feel that familiar feeling of this is overwhelming and all sorts of voices saying I'm not on top of this and that's not going right. And oh my gosh, I see that it's the exact same process.
Yes.
It's the exact same process. Yes. And,
isn't that fabulous? It's
oh
the,
my gosh.
The voice, yeah, they are able, if you listen carefully, of course, you can hear the times when they're off the mark. But generally speaking, they can shift it. The voices can shift it from what's going on in New York with the kids to what's going on at work so that it seems relevant.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But you've seen it's not.
That's right. And just to comment that being away for a week, the schedule kind of gets thrown off. And these calls, I was able just to listen to the recordings when I had a moment or two by myself, which was pretty rare during that week. And just to dial into the recordings and hear what Sangha has to say about all these. About all their assignments and to connect with that was just such a tremendous support and really kept me on track. And I just have a lot of gratitude for all that's being done by everybody and for the guidance here.
Well, and for the fellow who tuned in, because
yeah.
I bet there was a fair amount of, no, you don't have time for that. What you need to, because you have this little bit, what you need to do is, you know, it's always those voices always have a lot of really bad advice about how to stay unconscious and distracted. So appreciation for him,
yeah.
too, right? Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right.
Good point. Thank you.
All right. Very good. Thank you, sir. Go ahead,
thanks, right. Jesse. And that brings us to the end of a fabulous show, Sherry. Here is our assignment for today. Workbook page 22. List the 10 things that are most important to you. Record and listen. What fun.
What fun. Yeah. And we had some advice recently, I don't know from where, but some wise person who talked about doing the assignments right after getting off the show so that it's possible to practice with it all day and then check in the evening. So with this one, I'm definitely going to follow that advice.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Thank you, Ashwini.
Thank you,
everybody.